Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, in our Jumu'ah session we touched on a very important topic related to hijab. Hijab in the Arabic language means a barrier. And the reason why this topic came to mind is because recently there have been a lot of discussions on this topic of hijab due to a video clip that went viral. This Muslim lady in India who stood up against the Hindu extremists, the thugs that are there, who wanted to stop this Muslim lady and wanted her to take out her hijab, her headscarf. And so Muskan Khan, mashallah, stood in front of them and said, Allahu Akbar, and stood her ground. And this is something that is very, very important for us to learn. Sometimes you will find that, subhanallah, the women of this ummah have great iman. Even when it comes to the protection of Masjid Aqsa, you will find that the women are right at the front. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so this Muskan Khan lady comes from a city that is called Karnataka. And Karnataka is the city of Sultan Tipu Sultan. The city of Tipu Sultan. Tipu Sultan, his very famous saying is that to live one day like a lion, to live one day like a lion is better than living 100 days like a gidar, a jackal. Kya kehte hai gidar? Jackal. To live like a jackal for 100 days and to live like a lion for one day. He says to live like a lion for one day is much better. And so here you see the bravery and the courage that was there with the Muslim community and that spirit that was there of iman. Alhamdulillah. And so this iman we have to carry, and not just carry for our generation, but we have to pass this iman also to the youth, to the next generation. And women play a very, very important role in Islam. Very important role in Islam. If mashallah, if the mothers and the sisters understand their duty and what Islam demands from them, then the children that they give birth to will be the likes of Imam Ghazali, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, and great mujahideen. But if the mothers don't have that iman, if our young daughters and sisters don't have that level of iman, then unfortunately, even for the future, we can have many masjids. Many masjids. 200 masjid aap bana le. It is of no use. The real worth and value of the masjid are the musalli, are the people that come inside it. And so mashallah, hijab is that order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is an open sign for the world to see and for the women to give da'wat that this is the right path. And this is our identity. We don't have an issue, identity crisis. We don't suffer that. We know, alhamdulillah, that we are Muslims first. Then we may be whatever we have to be. But our first identity is that we are Muslims. So hijab actually means a barrier. Why? Because a woman is very, very precious. The world wants to deceive us, deceive the ladies more actually. You will find these feminist movements and these organizations. When it comes for women taking off their clothes and how they want to dress up, you will see them and their organizations to be very active. But when it comes to women who want to protect their chastity and women who want to put on the veil or the scarf or the Islamic attire, you will hardly see people talking about this. So that is why as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have to understand this. This is something very, very important. We should not be influenced by this very liberal approach that is slowly targeting also Muslim communities. I, with my own eyes, have seen when we were traveling back from Umrah, or was it Hajj, Wallahu Alam, traveling back to UK. And mashallah, the ladies in front of you, in full hijab. The ladies in front of you in full hijab. In fact, I said to the person who was sitting next to me, that mashallah, you know, when you see these women, your iman increases. Full hijab. Very beautiful, mashallah. Full niqab, full hijab. And then the pilot made an announcement that in half an hour we will be touching down at Heathrow Airport. Then you see this rush, women standing up going to the toilet. Subhanallah. All these women with parda going in the toilet, a complete transformation. From parda to being an actress. Oh, parda, parda, scarf, khimar, parda, ye sab nikal gaya. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And these were our Arab women. And as they came and they sat in front, so she said to me, can you fill for me this card? You know, your landing card. In those days you had to fill in your landing card. She was an Arab lady. And she was an old lady, but subhanallah, her dressing concept was she wanted to be 25. She wanted to be 25. And she must be touching 70. Burhape ko kaun chupata hai bhai? Burhapa kisi ko chhodta hai? Old age. You can do whatever you want. Use the best dye in the world. Your body will speak out. This man is faking it. Nothing. The truth is that. And she says, please, you know, can you fill for me this in English? And I looked at her, and then that brother said to me, "Ha, Mauli Sahab, is this the woman you were praising?" I said, "Ya Allah, what do? I have to swallow my words and eat my words and say, Ya Allah. Allah have, you know, raham upon this ummah. When you are not proud of your Islam, and when you are borrowing your Islam because you are in Saudi Arabia or you are in a Muslim country, and you feel that the government, now the government doesn't even want that, so the government has opened up everything. And this is what I said, that we are being influenced. And we are not happy with what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given to us. We are simply not happy. And what we want is what the kuffar is going to sell to us, what they want to give us. Inna lillah. This is the problem, my respected brothers. And until we don't change this attitude and we feel that no, alhamdulillah, who we are the best. Allah has praised us. Kuntum khayra ummatin. We clearly understand that there is a difference between a man and a woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the women folks very, very beautiful. And they are there as a form of attraction. Allah has made them very beautiful. This is what Allah has intended, that this makhluk is to be very, very beautiful. And therefore, when something is very beautiful, it also requires that amount of protection, naturally. Dunya ki har cheez mein, you will look at it. Your car, if it is expensive, you will want to make sure you park it in the right place. Anything in your house that is expensive, you will look after it. Chashma, ye tumhare chashma. You will look after your specs, your spectacles. You will look after it. You value it. So imagine the most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the women folks. And that is why Islam is the only religion that has given this concept of hijab to the Muslim ummah. I remember also once traveling, aap kahenge yaar Mauli sahab aap to traveling hi ki baat karte hain, main kya karu bhai? What can I do? What can I say? These are just the things that, you know, you get a chance to talk to people when you are traveling. There was a time when coming back to from Portugal to UK, there was a person sitting next to me, and I was sitting next to him, and he looked at me and he started to talk with me. And he said to me, "You're a Muslim. You're a Muslim." I think that's how he said. He says, "Yeah, I'm a Muslim." American Thais, Muslim bolte na, Muslim. You're a Muslim. So we got talking. And he said to me something that I still remember until now. And he said to me, "You have the best religion because there are two things that Islam has given you Muslims which no other religion has got. Two things that we Muslims have which no other religion has got." And he said to me, the two things are hijab and jihad. Can you imagine coming out from the mouth of a non-Muslim? Your real beauty, the beauty of Islam, is in two things.
Hijab and jihad. All the communities are destroyed, khatam. Civilizations have disappeared. But Islam will never disappear. Because the foundation, your foundation is very, very strong. And what is the foundation? He said, hijab and jihad. When we can get rid of these two things, hijab and jihad, from the Muslim community, then slowly Islam can be dismantled. Islam can be dismantled. Allahu Akbar. This is the reality. That is why Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, the stooge, he was in India to give fatwa that you can't do jihad against the British Empire. You can't do jihad against the British Empire. The first fatwa was given by Mirza Ghulam Qadiani. That is why there is so much support that is given to the Qadiani movement. This goes all the way back. And so if we are going to give up in hijab, we are going to lose everything, my respected brothers and elders. Hijab and jihad is a ni'mah that Allah has given. And so you will find different words that have been used for hijab. We, the Indo-Pak community, we use the word burqa generally. Hijab, khimar, jilbab. The Quran talks about jilbab. That is the full covering. The full covering for the women. And there are more than 7 ayats of the Quran. 7 places where Allah is talking about hijab. And in the hadith, it is replete. So many ahadith you will find in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam openly talks about the importance of hijab. And so when we look at hijab and how Islam introduced this barrier, this safety for the women. And this safety is not just for Muslim women, it is actually for all the women. Because every Nabi that came in this dunya spoke about hijab. Every Nabi. Main kuch dekh raha tha, hijab in the Bible. Hijab in the Bible. What is the teaching of Isa alayhi salam? If a woman doesn't cover her head, then as a form of punishment, she should have it shaved. She should have it shaved. If you don't cover your head, if you don't wear a scarf or something that's going to cover your head, then people should shave off the head, the hair, as a form of punishment. So the best choice for you is just to cover your head. In Matthew's, it is said, and I say unto you, whosoever looks at a woman to lust her with the eyes of lust, then he has committed adultery with her already in the heart. Look at the mazmoon. This is in the Bible. Can you imagine that? That even for you to look at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery already. And these have been the teachings of Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. But when you look at the advent of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his coming to this dunya, and how people were dressing up before his coming. So, Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, that we need to understand. In the days of Jahiliyyah, there was no concept of dressing up. Not for the men and not for the women. There were some women who would dress up fully and they would cover themselves and they were also respected. And there was some woman who would wear dress and some parts of the body was exposed and nobody would say nothing to them. The men also. So there was no set rules in how you should wear clothes. So Islam introduces this concept of hijab for the men and for the women. And just to give you an idea of how the people were before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not the people of Makkah Mukarrama, but the people who lived in the outskirts, the villages outside of Makkah Mukarrama, they would come to Makkah Mukarrama wanting to do tawaf of the Kaaba. And when they would want to do tawaf of the Kaaba, during the day, the men would do tawaf naked. Can you imagine that? They would do tawaf completely naked. And the women would also do tawaf completely naked. And the timing was that the women would come late in the night to do tawaf. They had a bit of haya. And that a bit of haya meant that the ladies would come late in the night to do tawaf. And the men knew that this is the time for the women. So the men would not be there. So the men would do tawaf if they were doing hajj and umrah. They would take off their clothes and do tawaf. Nange, naked. And in the night, it was the women who would come. This is in Jahiliyyah. Why were they doing this? Why would they want to take off their clothes? What is the purpose? What is the intention? The intention is, they said, that we have to take off our clothes. We can't do the tawaf of the Kaaba, this holy sanctuary. Subhanallah, the house of Allah built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Baytullah Sharif, how can we do tawaf in the clothes that we have done zina, in the clothes that we have committed sins? So our clothes are also napak and impure. So they would take their clothes out and they would do tawaf nange, naked. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an, a revert to Islam, decided that let me go and meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the early days of Islam. To meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was not easy. The Meccans would not allow any meeting, open meeting to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he said, I went to Makkah Mukarrama and I stayed there for a few days, finding the right opportunity that I can meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But then he said something that whilst I had no way to stay, so I was living in the haram. In the night I had seen two ladies that came, and in front of me they took off their clothes and they started doing the tawaf. And Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an said, I was disturbed by this, so I thought, let me, you know, say something to them that will stop them from doing tawaf and they might want to go away. And so I said to them that you two women are naked, just like how your idols are naked. And some of your idols are naked, and also that male idol is naked and a female idol is naked. So have you no shame that you want to do tawaf like this? And the ladies heard Abu Zar Ghifari, but they paid no attention to him and they just did the tawaf quickly and they completed the tawaf. But this is mentioned by Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. And this tells you that in Jahiliyyah, the women, this is what they would do. The men, this is what they would do. So there was no concept of clothing. What type of clothes you should wear until Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, the very first ayats that were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, explaining to people about how they should dress up And what is the purpose of your clothes? So my respected brothers, the clothes that we are wearing are a great blessing and a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So slowly the Quran is now changing that environment and that mindset. Just like how alcohol, once upon a time it was jais for the people to drink, but slowly it became haram. Slowly it became haram. Slowly the laws were passed through. And for a nation that was doing tawaf completely naked, and to transform that community, there was a lot of hard work. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran. Ya bani Adam, kad anzalna alaykum libasa. O sons of Adam, O children of Adam, we have sent down to you libas, clothes. Clothes are made from the raw material of this dunya, and that raw material comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything what we do is from Allah anyway. Kad anzalna alaykum libasa yuwari sawatikum warisha. And here the Quran is explaining two reasons why clothes are very, very important. Number one, yuwari sawatikum, that it should cover, so you wear your clothes to cover your satar, your nakedness. To cover your nakedness. And sawatikum actually means that portion of the body which generally nature requires it to be covered. That if it is exposed, people are not comfortable. People are not comfortable. So that is called your satar. So the very first purpose for insan to put on clothes is to cover his satar. You will find that insan is the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is wearing clothes. Every other creature, Allah has given him clothes by the body, with his body. The fur or whatever. With the body that Allah has given, that is how it is shaped. But insan, Allah has given it clothes, mashallah. Ke tum kapra pehno. This is the first reason. So cover your nakedness, cover your satar. And what is the satar of a man? From your kneecap, from your belly button to your kneecap. Your kneecap, this part is also included. So this part should always be covered. And the woman, because Allah has created her in a way that the purpose is beauty and beautification, that she is the most beautiful creation of Allah, so her entire body is satar. What is it? Aura. That is why a woman is called aurat. What is she called? Aurate. Urdu mein kya kehti? Aura in Arabic. In Urdu you call it aurat. Aura. Aura means parda. Besides the hands and the feet, and at the time of necessity, the face. Other than that, her entire body is aura. It should be covered. Entire body. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her in the most beautiful manner. And so this is the first reason. Number two, warisha. Your clothes are a form of adornment also, for you to look nice, for you to look decent, for you to look civilized. Aaj kapre dekhe log kaise pehante hain. That is why it is haram for men to wear the clothes of women and for women to wear the clothes of men. This is also a fashion. Fashion. Astaghfirullah. I met this person and he was telling me all sorts of things. Subhanallah, what is happening? And I was shocked when he was telling me all these things. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the woman so beautiful, the men folks, because of the environment and the society that they live in, they feel left out. And they also want to look very beautiful. And in order to look beautiful, for them, they want to look beautiful. So they try to look beautiful like the women folks. So now you have makeup for men also. You have makeup for... I really didn't know that. But that's the truth, no? Is it right, Umar Farooq? Umar ne keh diya fatwa, done and dusted, closed by, no objection. Umar said, yes, khalas. There is makeup for men also. Makeup for men. They don't like hair here on the chest, so they remove it. Even the clothes, you'll see the styling, how you want to walk, how you want to talk. Baz log hote aaj, bahut afsos se main kehna padta hai, and you see some of the people, subhanallah, you wonder, Allah created you as, you know, as a masculine, as a man, mashaAllah, or Allah created you as a woman, mashaAllah. Are you not proud of who you are? What do you want to be? But you see this, subhanallah, the problem, the environment that you're in, the corruption that gets you. And so Allah's Nabi has sent lanat on that person. You have to be very careful with unisex. A lot of our mothers and sisters nowadays, they wear jeans, you know, jeans. Jeans was only for the men folks. Ab to mashallah, aurte bhi jeans mein aa gayi. Aurte bhi jeans mein aa gayi. And you will find some women wearing a headscarf. But Allahu Akbar, you are wearing a scarf. But the clothes that you are wearing, the clothes that you are wearing will put your father and your brothers to shame. You will look down. Lekin hamari aurton ko itni bhi sharam nahi hai ke mere abba mere aage aur piche ke hisse ko dekhte hain. My father and my brothers are looking at the front and the back portion, not with the eye of desire, alhamdulillah, that is not the case, but as human beings. As human beings. Even that level of haya is not there. Imagine how the world is changing so fast and rapidly. So fast and rapidly. That covering is not there. The Quran is saying that the women, when they should go out, they should not expose their chest, the bosoms here, this part. And they should put khimar, a covering here, a loose garment. So it should be covered all the way, and this part should also be covered. You can't wear a scarf like this, tight, you know, like this. Ye nahi kar sakte. It is against the teachings of the Quran, not hadith the Quran. In fact, even the hadith and the Quran is the same, by it is the tashri of the Quran. And so these are things that are very important, adornment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the third thing, that the third libas is the best libas. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. That the best form of libas is called libas-e taqwa. Libas-e taqwa. What is the tafsir of libas-e taqwa? Libas-e taqwa means that until internally God consciousness is not inside you, Allah consciousness is not inside you, you will not be prepared to change yourself for the better. It will be hard for you to wear the Islamic garb. It will be hard for you to wear modest clothing. Why? Because internally there is a problem. That level of taqwa is not inside you. So first you have to mend the inside. Mend the inside. This is something very important. And you will see, Ajib, my respected brothers, that a lady who is wearing, mashallah, a scarf and modest clothing, she will look more beautiful and nurani as compared to someone who is exposing her body parts. Aap dekhe zara. Mashallah, humare Islamic clothes ko aap dekhe. How beautiful they are. So these were the first ayats of Surah A'raf that were revealed to tell the Arab community that first you have to cover your awrah, And it is a form of adornment. And the best garb is the garb that a Nabi will tell you that this is how you dress up. And this is how you do your covering. And then later on other ayats were also revealed when it comes to the chronology of clothing in Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, uhjub nisa'aka, that tell your wives to also cover themselves properly and in full parda. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said. And he said, the reason for that is there are so many people now that want to come and meet you. And they come very, very close to you. And we don't know how these people are, ajami people, foreigners that come to you. So my mashwara is that the women should be doing hijab. And you will find on many occasions where Hazrat Umar Farooq gave his mashwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran. And this ayat-e-kareema was revealed. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O my nabi, kulli azwajika. First say it to your wives and to your daughters and to the Muslim women. Yudneena alayhinna min jalabibihin. That to put over themselves this outer garment, which is called jilbab, this outer garment. And this outer garment is very, very important. So Islam gives this unique characteristic to a male and a female that when you are walking outside, immediately a person must notice that this person is a Muslim. When a person can't notice you to be a Muslim, that is problematic. If you go to certain parts of the world, you don't know whether to make salam to this brother. Why? Because you don't know whether this brother is a Muslim, Hindu or a Sikh man. Or a Christian man. Or who he is, we don't know. There are no signs. That is how, subhanallah, you dilute yourself. And so these are things that are very, very important. And so when you get married, and the parents that are here, we must always emphasize also wearing the right clothes. This is our duty, nicely, politely. If a woman has not been wearing clothes and she is wearing clothes, Western clothes or whatever, you can't just go home now and say, "Kaache tu, come here, give me the scissors. I'll cut all your clothes. Where's your jeans? Cut it." Hey, bhai, don't do that. Then they'll say, what is Maulana Muhammad doing? No, no, no. With wisdom, with hikmat, Islam changes a person slowly. What is it? Slowly you talk to them, slowly. Subhanallah, your daughters, the young girls, put in their hearts, mashallah, the love for hijab, the love for wearing a scarf, the love of modest dressing. That is fine. Casual, modest dressing, that your body parts are not exposed. This is something that is very, very important in Islam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَن يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. That, the first tafsir of this is, that it is an Islamic identity. When somebody sees you in this manner, naturally they will want to respect you. Why? Because they will think that you're a God-fearing person. You're a person who is practicing their faith and deen. And so it won't be so easy for us to make masti and to abuse a woman like that and to show any kind of attraction to a woman like this. It will be very, very difficult. And another tafsir the ulama have mentioned that la is mahzuf here. And what it means is that when you wear the clothes, Islamic clothes, no one will know who you are. And when nobody knows who you are, if previously somebody knew you and they wanted to talk to you or advance to you in any way, it will be very difficult because what you are wearing, you won't even know who this woman is. So that is why, alhamdulillah, hijab for our mothers and sisters is a great ni'mah. And wear a hijab properly. Unfortunately today, you will find that some abayas also require another form of hijab. Some abayas also require another form of hijab. I'm not saying, you will find that some abayas, it is better you should not have worn this abaya and you could have worn your shalwar kurta, they might be a bit more loose. But some of the abaya that people wear require another form of jilbab on them. So we should be very, very proud of our identity, mashallah. And we should not also be strict. There is another group of people that is hardline, you know, extremist. Abhi Suleiman is laughing at me. Very hardline. Subhanallah. Islam is about moderation. And I'm saying modest dressing. What is it? Modestly dressed. Good enough. That your clothes are... See, Islam has not put a uniform in front of us. That's why when you look at the language of the Quran, it's saying something. It's saying libas. There's no uniform. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a uniform. He did not wear something that all the Sahaba decided that only we could wear a material made in Makkah or material made in Medina Munawwara and only this way. Sometimes Allah's Nabi even preferred the hadiya and the gifts that were given to him. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood this because Khatamun Nabiyyin, this ummah, will come with a lot of difficulties also. There's a lot of fitna. So not this extreme and not this extreme. Abu Bichari Khatun, you know, she's in the car, on the motorway. Who's going to look at your wife's face? Somebody's going to look at? Pardono, pardono uta. Pardono, pardono. Arey bhai bichari, let her breathe. Mauli sahab said no. When did I say no? No, Maulana Muhammad didn't say, other mufti sahab said. Arey mufti sahab ko choro bhai. Mufti sahab is talking about his own taqwa. What I'm saying, there are sometimes, you know, you might be somewhere in the park, you might be somewhere in an area where mashallah, there is no fitna. There is no, look, fitna. Fitna. Hazrat Aisha says that during Hajj also, when men would come, we would cover everything. When men went away, we would be relaxed. If there's fitna, of course. Fitna, of course. Sharia demands that. In fact, according to the Shawafi and the Hanabila, it is wajib, even niqab. The face covering is wajib. Not at all am I saying that, you know, we should become very flexible. What I'm saying is that Allah has given us the aqal, moderation. Bichare baz hamare bachche kafni mein football khelte, kurta mein. They are playing football in kurta. Bhai, don't be so strict. Alhamdulillah, let them play football not in kurta, in the, you know, bottoms, whatever, top and bottoms. And they can have Leicester at the back return. It's okay. No problem. They live in Leicester. But don't put the name of a kafir. Put Abu Bakr, Umar, you know. Your name, Idris. Put your name. Show you are playing football, no problem. But this is your name. So sometimes you will find that we are making Islam difficult for ourselves. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. In some countries you will see that there is this very extreme element. Islam is not about extremism. Islam is a very beautiful religion. Islam does tarbiyat first. What does it do? The ayats of Surah A'raf were revealed. Slowly the ayats came down. The jilbab ayat came later on. And subhanallah, once the tarbiyat was done of the women, and when this jilbab order came about, the sahaba, how would they dress up, the sahabiyat? It is said that the women would dress up in such a way that only one eye was exposed. Only the eye side was exposed. Everything was covered because of this ayat. MashaAllah. Everything was covered. So my respected brothers and elders, what we have to understand here is that your hijab is very important. Even when we are at home, you will find sometimes, oh, my brother-in-law can come in the sitting room where my wife is, and this mixed sort of gathering. And when we, you know, a few days ago, this brother told me, Mawlsab, please come to the wedding, please come to the wedding. I'm a happy, lucky go guy, you know, I'll come, don't worry. Kabhi kabhi Mauli sahab ko to daawat milti hai. Baat to yun karte hai, jaise Mauli sahab ka koi aashik ho. Kabhi kabhi Mauli sahab, you know what, it's my daughter's dream that you should be doing the nikah and bayan. Tujhe kabhi maine dekha nahi, teri daughter ko to main janta tak nahi, but it's your dream, koi baat nahi. Let's fulfill your dreams. Chalo yaar. Tere khab pure ho. But anyway, I'm just saying, please don't take any offense. And, you know, when I went there, and subhanAllah, I went there with my wife. She says, no, dono aaye, do aaye. I said, okay, I will go. When we went there, so I said, I forgot to ask one thing. I said, brother, is there segregation here, men, women? No. I said, no. So, but we can put you upstairs. Maine kaha yaar, koi hum bhikhari log thore yaar. Arey bhai, don't do this. So, mashallah, in Islam we have this concept of segregation. It's very good for us. This stops us from fitna. Believe me. Sometimes when you, even in family circles, you'll find that the wife is talking to ghair mahram people, and you know, in a Muslim home, we should have two sitting rooms, one for the men and one for the women. Very important. Very, very important, bhai. Gym room mat banao, gym room mat banao. Kitchen na ho, koi baat nahi. You don't have a kitchen, you can have one small kitchen is fine. Lekin, separation. Women come, one side. The Quran says, if somebody knocks at the door, our mothers and sisters should not open the door like this. Ah, can show. Astaghfirullah. What are you talking about? You know, sometimes ladies think that, oh, you know what, very quickly in the morning I'm in my pajamas, let me just quickly go in the garden, throw something in the bin. By your 1 second in your pajama, your 1 second in your pajama can open up the doors of fitna for you. There was a man who came to me, forgive me, I'm not trying to stir anything like that, but, you know, he says, Maulana Sahab, my wife is tying and hanging the clothes in my garden, and my neighbor is always looking at my wife. What do you want me to do? I'm intending to sort him out. These are his words. I'm intending to sort him out. Koi aapki tarah hoga, pukhtun yaar. Pukhtuni log hote hai na zara. Hum Gujarati log to thande log hai bhai. We mehmans, we cold, we are samosa people. We don't, mashallah, you people have the spirit. You know these the Arabs and all these people, mashallah, the Philistini or ye Rus ke log, you know the Russians and the Turks. We are soft people. We talk too much. We talk too much. We don't do anything. But I can sort him out. I said, bye-bye. Don't sort things out so quickly. I says, go and die. Anyway, we did mashwara, what you have to do. But a lot of things happen because of these small things. The small things lead to big things. Small things lead to big things. By these are teachings of our Nabi. Do you think our Nabi would want to put obstacles in our life? No. Allah created us and Allah knows everything. And Islam is so beautiful. Does Islam say a woman can't dress up beautifully? Never. A woman can dress up beautifully. If she wants to buy expensive clothes to her own means, by look at the salary of your husband first. Look at the salary of your husband first and then buy clothes. Then no problem. Islam does not even say a woman can't show her beauty. Now you will find so many women, you know what they say? They say, our heart is clean. Your heart is dirty. What can we do? Your people's heart is dirty. You men folks are dirty. You people are perverts. Kya kehte? They are saying we are perverts. ये पर्वत ही बोलते हैं ना पर्वत. Our hearts are clean. So mashallah. Our ladies, their hearts are clean. Allah keep it that way. And jazakallah for reminding us. So we pray that Allah make our hearts clean also, like your hearts. Like how your hearts are clean, Allah make our hearts clean also. Jazakallah. But look at Shariat. What is Shariat saying? A woman should dress up beautifully for the husband first. Wear the best clothes. In the night, during the day, mashallah, whenever opportunity is given to you, you're gone for a holiday, wherever, a woman is free to wear whatever clothes that she wants to wear. Mashallah. Wear it. Put on the makeup, whatever. Look khubsurat more for your husband. Number two, you can look khubsurat and beautiful also in front of your very close maharim. Very close maharim. Those maharim that generally the level of shahwat is not in them for you. Because of that close relationship, naturally that level of shahwat is not in them. A father kisses the daughter with love and affection, not with any other intention. Or a brother, a sister, unless a person has got some issues in the mind, astaghfirullah, that would be wrong. So the people who are very closely related to you also, you can dress up very nicely in front of them. Number three, there is only women there. So you have gone to a function, ladies, and no men allowed. Nobody is going to video you, picture you. There you can take out your jilbab, your clothes, and mashallah, show your beautiful clothes and beautiful how you are looking. Show it, no problem. Because this is the nature of a woman. But what is haram is when you show your beauty to strangers. Islam does not allow you to reveal your beauty in front of strangers. So much so that even don't put perfume. Don't even put that level of perfume that a man, if he walks in front of you, might have some intention. So in front of strangers. Now if somebody says, no, our intention is halal. You know, if the strangers think like that, what can we do? We are completely, you know, sincere in our intention. Then, I'm going to conclude very soon, inshallah, we are going to end this majlis. That is not true. That is not true. Why? Because of what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned. If a woman is saying that I am dressing up even in front of the strangers only for myself, first of all, Shariat is telling you not to do this. And Shaitan will not allow you to keep this intention firm. Shaitan will break your intention. Why? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned this. وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. Allah ke Nabi ne farmaya, they are women. Kasiyat, despite wearing clothes, ariyat. Despite wearing clothes, they will be naked. So when a woman is dressing up like this, that despite wearing clothes, a stranger looks at her and pictures her to be a naked person, then Allah's Nabi is saying her intention is mumilatun ma'ilatun. The truth is that she wants to attract the people to her and she herself wants to be an attraction for the strangers. And Allah's Nabi said, subhanallah, la yadkhulna al-jannata wa la yajidna rihaha. That women, these women will not enter Jannah, never mind not entering Jannah, they will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. So my mothers and my sisters that are listening, we are not here to make your life miserable. We are here to make your life easy because Islam is the religion that gives you the right guidance. Islam will give you sukoon. The problem today, why are men turning to other women? Shall I tell you why? Bol do aaj. Because the women at home, they don't want to dress up for their husband. And they don't fulfill the rights of the husband. Sadly, I'm sorry to say that as an imam, you know, I have so many people that talk to me. Maulvi Sahab, I am in this situation. When I come close to my wife makes excuses. My wife turns away. My wife is doing this. You are cooking and your clothes are smelling and you dress up in a way that there is no attraction for your husband. And when there is no attraction for your husband, obviously he is going to be attracted to the ladies that are outside. So when he is going outside, he will be attracted because he is seeing something that is more beautiful. So mashallah, in Islam, a woman, Allah's Nabi saw a lady, and Allah's Nabi said that you are a married woman and you've not put henna. Henna is a kind of a makeup that you color your hands and fingers. So put henna. Why? For your husband. For your husband. Dress up properly for your husband, especially in this modern world, where you have all these, unfortunately, pictures and the wrong things that are available in front of them. Subhanallah, give everything what they want. And the husband should also give. It should not be just a one way going that, you know what, the woman should do everything for me and I am not doing anything for her. No, a husband should respect her. A husband should care for her. A husband should understand. But the problem is this. And when a woman dresses up like this outside, then obviously what will happen, there will be an attraction because there are people who will want to look at her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah hijab. And hijab, mashallah, modest dressing. There is no strict, you know, color that you have to only wear this color and that color. No, in the hadith it comes of women, Muslim ladies, mashallah, in Arabia, they would wear the black abaya like how they have now. But modest dressing. And most importantly, there should be taqwa inside a person. It should not be that you are chit-chatting with people. No, you can't even chit-chat. When you are chit-chatting too much, this will also open the doors of fitna. So, mashallah, what we have to do is we have to look after our daughters. And even when they go to the college, mashallah, what is important? Drop your children to the college. Look at their timetable. The time they finish, your wife, in this day and age, a woman needs to learn how to drive. A woman needs to learn how to drive. It's very important. Aurto ko sikhana chahiye. And the mother or the husband should go and pick up the child from the college. Never allow your children to walk at home. Never allow that. And this is where the bigar comes. This is where the corruption comes when children are walking. Children are walking back at home. And when this comes, subhanallah. And I always say to people, by at home, make sure your internet does not give you access to anything that is vulgar, behaya, immoral, to something that where children can have easy access to nudity, and that they can see things that are explicit. Mashallah, you are paying for your broadband. Buy the right package where you can put restrictions. Main bar bar kehta hoon, the best out there in the market is Sky Buddy. Kya hai? Sky Broadband Buddy. Ye Sky Buddy. Aap dekh lena. Get Sky Buddy and put in your house to protect the iman of your children. Whoever, mashallah, the father, you have your mobile phone, you can see exactly what is happening and you block everything there. £5, mahine ke kitne aapko dene hai? £5. Do as much as you can, the rest is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is going to happen. But these are the things that we look at today. Look at the thing where things are going wrong. Our mothers also on Instagram. And we are on Instagram. And no, I'm just doing this on Instagram. Bhai, try not to, because if you are on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok and all of these things, you are looking at one thing, but 10 things wrong you are seeing also. You want to see one thing, but shaitan is allowing you to see how many things? 10 things that are wrong. And those 10 things that are wrong is where your iman also becomes very, very weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hijab for the men and for the women. That is why hijab is there for the men and also for the women. And Allah says, وَلِبَاسُ taqwa. The libas of taqwa, inside there should be taqwa. God consciousness that my Allah is watching me. That is why the very first outcome of shaitan in his instigation, what he did to Adam alayhi salam, is that the clothes were removed. The clothes of Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa were removed. And they were quickly picking up the leaves and some covering that was there of Jannah to hide the aura. And why in the tafsir it is saying that after iman, the second most important duty is to cover your body. After your kalima, la ilaha illallah, the most important fariza is satre aurat, that you cover your nakedness. And shaitan targets your nakedness. This is what he does. Make you besharam. Make us besharam. So alhamdulillah, whatever we can do in the days of fitna, my respected brothers, do it nicely, with love. Explain to mothers and sisters, mashallah, explain to them, sit with them. When you get married, mashallah, talk to the wife who is going to get you, who is going to be your wife, that look, you know what, I guarantee you these are the things I am going to do for you. But before marriage, these are the things that I want from you. It's not about me, it's about Islam. I want you to do all of these things according to Islam. And put all that there and do islah of the community in that manner. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.